Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. My name is Ebony Johnson. I'm your host. This is Ebony's Bones, where we are able to come and join in conversation with you and decolonize, explore, and question everything that we've been told to believe. We have Professor Lowe as our AJ Lowe, our co-host. Say hello.
Hello. We've talked about this before, Ebony.
I know, right? I'm trying to get it together. We're excited because this is a show you really wanted to have.
Yes.
So we're talking about rethinking whipping our children. WHUPPING. And we're delighted to have on the show Yolanda Williams, host of the Parenting Decolonized podcast. Welcome to Ebony's Bones, Yolanda.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with y'all.
Thanks for being here. So will you start us off with, we got connected through another one of our the guests on Ebony's Bones, Dr. Shauna Leith, who mentioned Dr. Stacy Patton's work, author of Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. And she linked me to you, and you have read and been influenced by that book. And I'd like for you to start us off with your what you gleaned from and just your perspective on that notion of not whooping our children and why we do it. Just kind of start us off with how you even started your podcast and being inspired by that book.
I was inspired by Dr. Stacy Patton's book, as well as the post-traumatic slave syndrome book, just tying it all together as to going back into why black parents hit their children, and why it's so harmful, especially for black children, to be hit by their parents. And when I first got pregnant, I started researching everything about children because I didn't even like children, so I didn't know anything about them. I didn't even want children. When I, you know, what I'm saying? Like it was a surprise, and I was like, well, I'll be a parent. Let me learn. And so I read all these books and about like brain science and what hitting does to children when you hit them, how the nervous system reacts. And then I read those two books and I was just like, wow, like this is beyond the biological things that can happen to a child. The psychological effects of black parents hitting black children is profound, and it has lasting effects on not just the children but society as a whole. And that's what really made me start my podcast, because I wanted to start sort of pulling those layers of the onions apart and looking at how enslavement has impacted modern parenting and the things that we are just, you know, inheriting these ideas about children instead of looking at them as humans and not property, and why we need to make this huge shift, cultural shift, to a more conscious, more human-based parenting. Because you know, this old school parenting is not based on it's based on fear. It's based on protection of kids mostly, but of fear. And I don't want to do anything out of fear, including especially raising my black child.
Go ahead, Professor Lowe.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening because, like I said, I'm trying to understand. Because, I mean, I do not believe in abusing a child at all. But I remember being bigger than my mom, and when I was a teenager, a rebellious teenager, and I think that the only thing that stopped me, especially when she used to punish me, and it was beating the fear. It's like I've never raised my hand to my mother, and it was more of a fear thing as opposed to, like, I mean, I absolutely respect her, but you know, when you're a youngster, that's what I'm thinking about. So
I don't want my child to fear me. That's the thing. I want her to respect me without that fear. And what I want is for her to look to me as her safe place, as the person that she can come to and talk to about things, and I'm not going to hurt her physically for making probably really age appropriate mistakes and doing really age appropriate things. Most of us black parents, a lot of black parents start hitting their children around 18 months. And usually it's because they're into everything at that age, right? They're touching everything, putting stuff in sockets, eating things, running in the trap. Like, they're into everything, and they're doing everything. And my daughter, Gia, is 2.5, and I hate 2.5. Like, I don't like it. It's not easy. She's into everything. I'm a single mom. It's, like, super hard. But that's what she's supposed to do. That's how she learns about the world around her. And so me not having control of myself does not help her learn about the world around her. She doesn't learn how to be safe from me hitting her. She learns how to be safe from me explaining things to her or showing her. So I feel like there's a laziness. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. There's a laziness involved with hitting children. It's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to try to explain things to you. I don't want to say things more than a couple times. I'm just going to hit you, put the spear in you, and then you should be good. The problem is, it doesn't work because you still get hit for that same thing over and over and over again. I know I did. So, yeah. You know, you might have fear there that kept you from doing certain things, but it didn't stop you from having age-appropriate anger or attitude or none of that stuff. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop hormones. It doesn't stop any of that. It just stifles who you are as a person.
See, I can't disagree with it because, you know, one of the things as an instructor I have to do is I got to stay in my lane. And, and because I don't have kids, I feel like I'm marginalized to actually talk about this because
have this conversation.
I do, but I don't. I might have bit off a little bit more than I could chew because I don't know if I disagree, but I don't know if I can disagree. You know because what I mean?
Why
do you disagree? I'm sorry, this is your show.
No, Yolanda, go ahead. Got you with it. Go ahead. It's free form.
Because why do you think children need to be hit in order to be good kids?
Okay, so I don't have any scholarly information, which is usually how I formulate my ideology and my opinions and my arguments, which I don't have a lot of that. So I'm just speaking off of straight emotion, like how I would feel, how I was reared. And yeah, my mother did not spare the rod. I cannot think of too many times where she did. There was a couple of times where like she was like, yeah, I'm not just like... The punishment, the situation that you're going through right now is worse than a whooping. So we're not going to even go there. You know, we'll have a conversation on how this. But there were several times where my mother and my grandmother used various items in utensils in rearing me. And
right.
So, and I look at how that affected me. It did, you're right. It did reinforce fear because I was definitely afraid of my mother, who was 29 years my elder, and my grandmother, who was 60 years my elder. I was terrified of them. But I don't know if that actually negatively impacted my life right now. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm trying to relate.
A lot of us have that I was fine thing. I turned out fine.
Right. I turned out fine. So Yolanda, I think fine is
a very short baseline for what we need for our kids to be. I think fine is like the bar is so low. I think fine is mostly outward stuff, right? You got a good job. You are smart. You have nice things. Like, we're fine because our outside life reflects that we're fine. But inside... Are you fine? Because I know I wasn't fine. I know when I really faced myself, I needed a lot of therapy to get through some of the childhood trauma. I had anger issues. I had really hard times forming relationships with people. Really hard time in romantic relationships with power struggles. That's how it usually manifests.
And I'm trying to, and like again, I'm using these and I'm trying to relate because you're right. I grew up with anger issues, but a lot of that reflected what was going on outside of the home. Like, even though I was terrified of my mom, like she was still somebody I could always go to and like talk to. There was a few things where I was like, oh yeah, she's gonna be super mad if I tell her this. So either I got to skate around it or explain it to her delicately, but. Yeah, I don't I'm looking at the situation and thinking that, because when I think back as far as my personal, me personally, again, I can't speak on this on the scholarly level, but when I think about me personally, I think about the anger issues usually reflected from like a lot of the racism that I was experiencing at a younger age by being put into these areas and these environments where I'm completely outnumbered. That's where a lot of my frustration and anger comes from, even to this day. Now, I don't know if I can relate it to the whoopings. Now, what I will say is that going to a black college, I will say that I think that black people as a whole, we are addicted to violence. And I think about that, especially in regards to like showing violence to people that you supposedly love, the first thing I think about is sororities and fraternities. How during their initiation process, during their pledging process, they would beat each other. And I went to a school that was getting in trouble on federal levels for putting people in the hospital. And in some cases, they were killing people based off of their initiation process. So that's one of the things I started to really pay attention to in college, as far as where is this culture of violence coming from, and why do we execute this violence on people that we say we love? So that's when I hear this, I think about that more so than I think about my mom.
I want to give people an opportunity to call in. If you're just joining us, this is Ebony's Bones. I'm your host, Ebony Johnson, alongside our co-host, Professor AJ Lowe. And we are speaking with host of Parenting Decolonized, the podcast, Yolanda Williams. Our topic today is rethinking whooping our children. You can give us a call if you want to have any questions for Yolanda, if you want to weigh in on the topic at 816-931-5534. Again, that's 816-931-5534. Ronkia Bates is on the other side of the glass to take your call. Yolanda, I'm going to share a piece that I saw. It was an article written April 8, 2017 by Jarvis D. Berry. It was on NOLA.com. And the title of it was, "Think the Whoopings You Got Were Necessary. Did Slaves Think Differently?" And in that article, he gives a reported firsthand account of what slavery, of like in a part of Louisiana, they have a space where they had recorded firsthand accounts of actual slaves. And one of the quotes he uses from a slave at that time, the slave said, "Sometimes I cried after I went to bed because of these whippings. Of course, it was necessary sometimes, but these overseers, gruesome men from the north, was brutal." And he ties that into, do you see how those slaves themselves who were whipped thought it was necessary for them to be whipped? And, and that there is a link there that we may not realize. And so can you speak to that a little bit more?
I mean, yeah, I feel like a lot of us felt like we deserved, like we had to, right, to keep us in line. But if you look at that closely, that sort of like, you know, children need to be hit in order to be good children, it means if you really...
I think Yolanda might be calling. Just call us back, Yolanda. Something must have disconnected for some reason. Go ahead, Professor.
No, because I'm curious to hear how Yolanda's going to relate it to slavery. Again, I'm not a scholar in this area, not in psychology, I'm not even well read on the effects of whippings or capital punishment in the home. So I just want to give that as my disclaimer. But at the same time, I do know about history. I do know, especially in regards to American slavery. And I don't know if I would equate the same level of care or even feeling or emotion or empathy that an overseer would have as opposed to a mother. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying there are bad moms out there, 100%. But I don't know if I would say that as far as a majority of mothers would whip their kids on the level of a overseer.
Well, in this article, I'll say that from what I read, they were not saying that they would whip them at the same level, but they were tying it to thinking that it is even necessary for you to be whipped. And that thought process, even now to this day, when people are saying what goes on with black people, and we start feeling as if, well, we kind of deserve some of it.
Oh, man.
Like, maybe, you know, just having that thought process.
Okay. There's another story that I'm thinking about in my head that actually happened to me when me and my sister decided we wanted to host a baseball game in our front yard and busted the window out. That was a memorable, that was one of those whoopings that's going to stick with me. Or lying to my teacher. Like, I don't know if I would say that I didn't deserve those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, lying to my teacher. Like, lying and trying to get out of bad grades. I don't know if I could say that, you know, I didn't deserve. And what would the punishment, what would you say that the punishment would be for something that is just something on that level? Since me and you don't have kids, so
yeah.
We are out of our realm.
But we are somebody's child.
True.
And we have had the experience of growing up, and this is a topic that we're curious about, even
absolutely.
On the level of feeling what is the appropriate response for somebody to us with our bodies.
Right.
You know, I do want to take a station break, and hopefully we'll be able to get Yolanda back. I'm not sure what happened, but we'll take a station break and then we'll come back after these messages.
Oh, this is Yolanda.
Oh, this is Yolanda. Okay, sorry, Yolanda. Well, I didn't know it was you on the line. Thanks so much for being back. Rankia put it through to us, but she probably mouthed that to me, but I missed it. Sorry. But thanks so much. I'm not sure. I don't know. Sometimes it can get a little crazy, but we're good. I'm glad you're able to call back. Yolanda Williams, host of Parenting Decolonized podcast, and we are talking about rethinking whooping our children. And if you want to join in on this conversation, feel free. 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. And before we were disconnected, we were talking about the link between slaves feeling it was necessary sometimes for them to be whipped and us continuing that whipping in our process. And Professor Lowe was saying that he doesn't know that he doesn't think it's the same type of rearing of an overseer whipping a slave as it is our parents whipping us.
Yeah, I want to get your take on it.
It absolutely is. It is definitely.
You should see his face, Yolanda.
We don't take the time to see the humanity in our children, we're treating them like property. We are. And childism is what it's called, is when you don't respect the humanness in children. Children they're not inherently bad. And when you are hitting them for obedience or to have good children, it reinforces the really white supremacist message that they are inherently bad, that black people need violence in order to be controlled and to be obedient. And obedience is not my goal as a parent. It's a lot of people's goals. It's not mine. My child is going to be she's running around here. She's a wild child. And it's different for a lot of people in my family because I'm not hitting her. And it's hard for me, who was hit, to suppress that urge, you know, because that's the first thing that comes to mind is me wanting to be violent towards her. But she doesn't deserve that violence. Those enslaved people didn't deserve to be hit because we need them to be obedient. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is to raise whole people who are able to challenge authority and to use their voice, you know, to advocate for themselves and for their families. Yeah. I'm not raising her to be obedient. I'm just not. And so that's why I always ask parents, like, what's your goal? If your goal is obedience, then you probably will hit your child. But if your goal is to raise a whole person who, you know, has their own thoughts and opinions and is able to freely express them and advocate for themselves, then you're probably going to try to find a way to cultivate teach them.
Yolanda, the calls are coming in, so I want to get people through here. We have a caller, John Latta. I hope I'm saying that right, from Kansas City. John, go ahead with your question or comment. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks, Ebony. Yeah, and I appreciate Yolanda's point of view, really. I'm an older white person. I was raised in Kansas City, by kind of a nuclear family, and I didn't experience violence. There were never anything perfect, but I didn't experience that. But I have black friends, and kind of get it because they have to be disciplined somehow. But I think Yolanda is dead on straight. Violence perpetuates violence, and I know a lot of people who have that perspective that that is a positive thing to discipline children, but I think in the long run it's a negative thing, and I think there are other ways to do it. I'll listen to your response after I'll take off air.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, John. Yolanda, you can go ahead and comment if you like, and we're going to patch in another call as well. But go ahead with the comments.
Well, it's definitely, there's ways to discipline without punishment, and discipline are two different things. And punishment is sort of revenge almost for something that happened in the past. You want to inflict pain, whether it's emotional or physical pain. Discipline is teaching someone. So you're figuring out what they need to be met, or the skill gap that they don't have that you need to teach them. And so you can definitely do that without hitting them.
All right, and we have another caller, Brandy from New Jersey. You're on the air. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay. Hello. I'm not for sure if the caller prior to me brought this up, but I had a question about what disciplinary actions would you suggest we take. Like, for instance, let's say if you're a child, like if you don't whoop your children at all and they're getting into fights or things at school, and let's say they're initiating the fights or things like that, like what disciplinary action would be best? Because I know some parents are like, well, if you're hitting people, then I'll hit you back to teach you a lesson. Or I did, there was one parent where their child burnt down the house. And they didn't whoop their children, but they did whoop him for that, for burning down the house. And not that I'm not for whooping children or hitting children, and I want to practice that when I do have my children, but I would be curious as to know, in those instances where they're kind of extreme, what would be the disciplinary action to take?
Thank you, Brandy.
Right out of my mouth. I don't know. Brandy sounds like she might have gotten a lot of trouble when she was a kid. She just seems like she's like, but yeah, no, I'm curious to hear that too.
Well, there's always behind the behavior, always either an unmet need or a skill gap. So if you're trying to initiating fights and there's anger there's a reason that that's happening. So our job as parents is to figure out why this is happening. So you have a choice of hitting them, putting that fear in them, and not figuring out the issue, or you can figure out the underlying issue behind that and help them learn how to cope with those feelings in a more constructive way. Because what is hitting them going to do besides instill fear? They're going to figure out another way to get that need met.
I have a question.
So
do you believe that not saying that all kids are bad, do you believe that there is a such thing as a bad child?
I don't. And that's because I believe that a lot of times when we think of children as bad, they're either it's because of a developmental stuff, age-appropriate stuff, or they are responding to their environment. So if you have a child who has been around violence all the time or is has been socialized in a certain way and they're acting things out, that's what they know. That's their environment. If they've been around in really stressful environments, or I personally couldn't see someone who was raised with conscious parenting, with no hitting, with empathy, with discipline in a constructive way, that is quote unquote just bad, just a bad apple. You know, I don't believe that. I think a lot of times the environment dictates how these children show up, and I think parents have a lot to do with that.
One of the things, Yolanda, that you mentioned, it caused me, and if I get her name before the show, I'll give credit to it, but it was a lady who talks about conscious parenting as well and wrote a really popular book. And something that she said that really stuck with me, that I use even as an aunt, because that is something Professor Lowe and I share. He is an uncle, I am an aunt. And so we do have at least those roles that we play with younger children. But she did say that children act out what the adults refuse to deal with. And when you made that comment about children, you know, something going on in their environment, and my mom would always say that children are sponges and they just absorb whatever is going on. They'll absorb it, you know. And then I look at my niece and nephew and I think, I mean, even I remember when we first told our nephew he was black, he didn't know he was black. Like, and then it really kind of dawned on me that he didn't know, like, that he was really, really young, like you know. But I'm saying that to say, because they make me realize a lot of the things that we were taught and told about ourselves, they didn't necessarily naturally believe that. You know, there are terms and experiences and expressions that they just pick up from their environment. Again, I want to give out the station number if you want to weigh in on the conversation. We are talking about Rethinking Whooping Our Children with host of the Parenting Decolonized podcast, Yolanda Williams. Ronkia Bates is on the other side of the glass to take your call at 816-931-5534. Again, that's 816-931-5534. Professor Law?
No, I was just, I mean, because like I said, my disclaimer again is that, you know, I don't have kids, so I have to tread lightly, and I'm not a scholar in this area. But so that's my disclaimer. I'm going to continue to throw that out there. But I think about my best friend. He went to a high school that I'm not going to say where it's at, but this was an affluent high school in a suburban area of Kansas City, and I got to meet some of his classmates, and some of his classmates were not good people. And I could say that as a teenager. Some of these people I've you know, asked about them as an adult, and they're not doing too good. But I don't know. My question would be, again, is, okay, so you have a teenager, not a child, but a teenager that's never really experienced whooping, but continues to get into trouble, dealing with drugs, violence, even though they have a stable two-parent home. The environment they live in is not a violent environment. It's in the suburbs, and they have a pretty decent home background. What about a child like that?
You know, well, first of all, unless you're in the home, you don't know what's going on in there. You just don't. You know, affluence is not, doesn't mean there's not abuse and all this other stuff. With that said, children, there's always, like, stuff happening with them. The child could be responding to something that's going on at school. Or maybe something happened that no one knows about, like, you know, molestation. There's a reason behind everything. And I think when we start to understand that behavior is communication and stop looking at it as something to be punishable, but we need to get curious. I always tell my parents, get curious, not furious, because we need to understand, especially if you're saying that there's basically no underlying reason for this child to be acting this way, outside, you know, external things, there's no reason, then there's something going on inside. And as parents, we have to, there's no reason I would punish a child without understanding what's going on with them first. If they're constantly getting into trouble or doing drugs, you know, we all know that people who are using drugs consistently are usually trying to mask some sort of pain. Why would I punish that? You know, if they're getting into, if their grades are failing all of a sudden, or they're getting into fights at school, or they're really disrespectful to teachers, I'm going to figure out what's going on. I'm not going to punish them, because that's not going to help the situation. It's going to most likely make it worse.
Yolanda, we have a caller. Charles from Atlanta, Georgia is on the air. Charles, go ahead with your question or comment.
I want to say what's up to my brother, Sean. You invited me for the call, and I appreciate that. I'm a public education teacher. You know, I'm a public school teacher. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up in the inner city. So my response to that is, you know, I think that when you want to ultimately redirect your children, people don't just whip their children out of anger. They want to redirect them so they make better decisions. And I think that's a multi-layered process to that. I do think initially I'm not just going to use corporate punishment. I'm not just going to whip you right off the bat. You know, I'm going to try to have a discussion with you. I'm going to try to understand what's going on with you. I want to see if it's peer pressure. I want to see if there's some emotional distress. So I want to try to gauge the situation. But if I've talked to you, we've had a conversation, and we've clearly tried to distinguish right from wrong, and you continue in the behavior, I think that you have to meet, you know, extreme behaviors with more extreme measures. Like, you have to say, okay, listen, because what happens is we try to say, I don't believe in corporal punishment. I don't believe in whipping my kid. But if you leave that kid to continue to make wrong decisions without correcting them and, you know, taking it another level, then it becomes having issues with law enforcement. You know, and then when it becomes that, you're like, okay, well, what can I do? I would rather whoop my kid and, you know, redirect them on my own without them having to go through the extreme measures that they will meet in life. You know, and that's just my opinion with it.
Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Yes, Yolanda, you can go ahead with the response.
And that's a really popular popular opinion when it comes, whenever I talk to, especially Black parents, that comes up. I should whip them before the cops get a hold of him. But here's the thing. I don't think that most parents are abusing their children on purpose. We're trying to protect them. But conscious parenting and not whipping your children does not mean there's no discipline. It doesn't mean you're not correcting behavior. I wish that people would stop thinking that. Like, you know, I'm not a pushover. I'm not going to just let my daughter just do whatever she wants. That's not what's going down in this home. There's rules, there's structure, there's discipline. And when, especially if you are raising them this way from birth, they get used to the structure and the and boundaries and discipline that you set. But if you're trying to start this transition to conscious parenting or not hitting your kids after you've done that is much harder because they've already internalized all these things. I mean, we have to understand that our impact that we want to have is they're not going to go to jail if we hit them. But the intent, the stuff that, I'm sorry, that was backwards, is intent versus impact. Our intention is to help them not go to jail. But the impact of that is it weighs on them, it breaks their spirit. It does not help any situation. I really don't see a situation where putting your hands on someone violently helps them understand anything better. It may stop that behavior temporarily, but they're going to figure out a way to get, again, that need met, or there's a skill gap there. If you have to keep saying something over and over again to your child, that means they need help with understanding that in a different way. It's not helpful to hit them.
Yolanda, it was your first podcast that I listened to, and you said whooping your child is the whitest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Can you speak on that a little more?
Yeah, I got that from the lovely Dr. Stacey Patton, because she breaks it down. Basically, violence this kind of violence against our Black children is a byproduct of enslavement. And thinking that we need to control our children with violence in order for them to be good people. It is the whitest thing you can do because whiteness is violent. It is it strips you of your humanness. It makes you feel helpless and powerless. And that's how our children feel when we hit them. I mean, I don't recall any child. I don't remember when my mom hit me. I afterwards, I was just like, thank you. I really appreciate that. I feel so good. Like you don't feel good afterwards. And it's not because you were in pain. It's because you don't feel good about yourself. It doesn't help your self-esteem. And that is what white supremacy wants. It wants us to be, wants us to internalize the hatred that they have for us. And now when I say whiteness, I'm just put this out there. I'm talking about the construct of white. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not white people, whiteness. Because you can be white and not buy into whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, that is, it helps white supremacy when we hit our children. It helps it.
Because
it breaks us down.
And you, in that same vein, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, you said, you talked about putting into our minds that black bodies need violence in order to be compliant or obedient. Which I think
that's exactly
is worth saying again, as well as when you earlier you did mention you're not raising your child to be obedient. You're raising them to be a whole person. And so that's a different perspective.
So what about those children that end up doing violent acts and they never got whoopings?
For everything, you know,
like
I have never been up. You know, there's studies that show that hitting your child leads to increased aggression and a more.
Yolanda, you're going out a little bit. Yolanda?
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you better
now. I'm sorry.
Now. Okay.
I feel like there's always going to be, right, outliers for all this stuff. And I can't speak to every specific thing. All I can say is, generally speaking, what we want to do as black people, we want to... I was just listening to your other show about reimagine. That's the show, the one with the Freedom Project.
Yes.
And reimagining this world and thinking about like what I want for my child, and what I want is for it to be nonviolent and for it to for us to amplify emotional health over everything. And I can't say that I want that for my child while being violent towards her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like our homes should reflect how we want the world to look. Mm. And I can't say that it breaks my heart that to think about the fact that we feel like black lives do not matter, but they need to matter inside our home. Like when we hit our children, it tells them that they don't matter. It tells them that their bodies are not theirs, that someone else can hit them and do things to them and they have no say in it. Nah,
Yolanda, Yolanda, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question or comment, and please state your name and where you're calling from. Ronkia had to leave, so she can't scream for us, but state your name, where you're calling from.
Okay, am I on the air?
Yes, you are on the air.
Yeah, my name is James Williams, and I'm from Kansas City. I just would like to comment on Ms. Williams' comment about I don't think that making a child or anybody has nothing to do with slavery or whether black parent, you know, was just because of our past, you know, that every time we spank our child to redirect them not to do something, you know, wrong, is that slavery come into it. I don't think that, you know, a spanking is a spanking, okay, it has nothing to do with what the white man did with, you know, the black people, you know, and how we reacted afterwards. You know, it was wrong what they did to us, you know, but my parents didn't beat me because their great grandparent was a slave. I don't believe that. So I think there's some kind of some confusion there. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. We do. We also we have another caller as well calling in. We're going to take this call, and then after that, we'll do a station break. One moment. All right, caller, you are on the air. Go ahead with your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Miss Danny, and I just recently was able to tune in, but I wanted to share my opinion. First, I just want to acknowledge that there is a difference between disciplining your child and beating your child, and that discipline is a balance. Whatever you choose for your household is what you choose for your household, because the child comes from two parents, and you know what discipline should be effective for your child. But also we need to acknowledge the fact that whether it is conscious parenting or the discipline with the style of whooping, each of them can be taken to the left and cause a child to do things in a manner that is not socially acceptable. So I just wanted to share that I am of the opinion that you need to make sure as a parent that the discipline you choose, you can stand on, and that it has a balance. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that comment. We do need to take our last station break for the show, and we'll be back after these messages. And we're back here on 90.1 FM. This is Ebony's Bones. I'm your host, Ebony Johnson, alongside our co-host, Professor AJ Lowe. And we are talking with the host of the Parenting Decolonized podcast, Yolanda Williams. Our topic is rethinking whooping our children. Professor Lowe, over the break, you had a comment that you wanted to share.
I got to throw out my disclaimer again that this is not my field of study, and nor am I well-read on scholarly on this topic. So I'm coming from a deficit. But at the same time, like I said, I agree with the callers. And I don't want to sound like I'm unsympathetic or like, you know, I'm a horrible person or that I intend on doing my kids like physical harm all the time. But I think I'm thinking about some of the situations that I've been through with my nephew, because my nephew, I don't hit him. Now, well, I can't necessarily say that. He's 16. He's 6'2". He towers over me. So, you know, I feel like some of those times he tends to forget that me and him are not on the same level. And because I'm smaller than him, he actually thinks that I'm weaker than him. Like, we've had conversations like this, and some of the times I've had to flex my muscle because he's too much for my sister and my mother to deal with. I don't think that he's an awesome kid, and I remind him of that. He's an awesome child. Like, but I don't know about, I completely understand what we're saying about the whoopings, but I don't know if that necessarily applies in every single case. Again, I'm not scholarly in this area, so that's my disclaimer one more time.
Okay. Well, so just to address the caller, there is a difference between discipline and punishment, like I said before. But let me tell you this. The brain does not, a child who's getting hit, her brain does not distinguish between a pop, a spank, and a beating. The brain does not do that. Y'all can look it up. That's just not... I'm serious. Neurologically, it's all the same. It's pain, it's stress, and that's not how people learn. If your college professor came across, you know, the room and just smacked you in the face because you didn't do something, you're not going to learn better that way. I don't understand why we think children should be hit in order to learn. And then on the second part is how parents raise their children affects the world. And I wish we could understand this. You raising your children affects how my daughter interacts with your kid who's interacting with the world. Think about all these people out here who are walking around angry as hell, who are these police officers who are out here beating people, all these things. I really feel like the way we raise our children is the way they're going to show up in the world. And so it's y'all want to say it's personal. Do what you want to do for your household. It's not personal.
We have a caller. Caller, go ahead. State your name, where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Marissa McQueen, and I'm actually AJ's cousin. Hi, Professor Lowe. How are you?
Thank you for throwing that in there.
hey, cousin. So I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to be quick, but I do just want to say a couple of things. I am against spanking my children, and the first reason that I'm against it is because we don't allow physical punishment in any other area. Mm-hmm. We don't want the police to hurt people. We don't want your boss hitting you. Like, we don't let prison guards hit prisoners or people who are actually guilty of things. Why would we treat the smallest people of our society in a way that we don't even indulge in as adults? Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's my thought process.
You got that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing is, I believe that when we lean on physical punishments, we don't really develop any other sort of punishment or discipline. So that being said is, while your child is still young, it's very easy as the big person to hit them or physically discipline them because they're smaller. But AJ, just like you said about your nephew, when he gets bigger, you haven't developed any other sort of discipline to be able to keep that child in check, to let them know that you're the boss. And so I'm not saying the way I discipline or punish my kids is correct, but we have to come up with some sort of other something that shows discipline to them, but is in a way that goes along with how they grow and can still be used whether they're 7 or whether they're 13, 15, 15, or 16. It still works. I believe that physically abusing children, there is no difference between discipline and a beating. Where is the line? Is when you swat your kid 5 times, that's discipline, but when you hit them 6 or 7, that's a beating? Like, physical abuse is physical abuse.
Okay.
I agree.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. I have another question. All right. Because I agree with you guys about hitting on a child, on a little kid. Is there an age? Like, so you're saying this is not acceptable?
No, Yolanda's saying no.
On any level.
No.
You're trying to get around.
You know, my niece is 13, and my sister stopped hitting her a few years ago. I mean, she's 14 now. You know, what she looked like just because she did something, if she started that back up, they'd be in there fighting because she is a person. After a while, we kind of look at the world right now. There's going to be only so many times I remember rearing up at my mom after a while. My mom still, she got it. She still did what she had to do. But I was so angry because I'm just like, I didn't deserve whatever you think I did. I did not deserve to be hit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you feel really bad. Like, it made me feel bad about myself. Mm-hmm. And it made me have resentment towards her. And I really think that if we look at how everything is transpiring right now, like she said, we cannot teach them with violence. And if we can't have violence in any other part of our world, and we can't even hit dogs without police being called on us, why are we able to hit children? And I mean, let me just tell you this, a teenager is still a child. The brain does not finish developing until 25 years old. We think that when they hit a certain age, we have to stop teaching them stuff and parenting them in a certain way. And sometimes, even as teenagers, they need us to drop closer to them and to teach them things for adulthood. There is no reason to hit a child, period. There's just not. There is nothing that you can talk to them and you can do other tactics of discipline, but hitting them needs to be off the table.
Yolanda, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please go ahead with your question and our comment. And make sure you turn your radio down and your listening device, whatever you're listening on in the background. Go ahead with your name and where you're calling from and your question or comment.
Hi, my name is Lynn, and I live in Lawrence, Kansas. I wanted to say a couple things really quick. One, you touched on the whole issue of slavery and how that maybe ties in. And one thing I wondered if you could talk about is that I didn't hear you quite touch on was the fear from Black parents that if their children aren't well behaved enough, then they'll suffer consequences at the hands of the white people, police, whoever. And I think that possibly has played into maybe a reason why historically Black parents have felt like they needed to harshly discipline their children, kind of like someone said, before the police get to them. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about is just the whole issue of the difference between being permissive and whooping your children. There's somewhere in between that, you know, you can discipline your children, as so many of the panelists have talked about very eloquently, that you can discipline your children in a way that helps them understand and be prepared for the world, because when you go into the world, you cannot deal with conflict by hitting people.
Yeah.
So However, now I am someone
we're gonna,
who was...
Miss, we're going to... We only have literally a couple of minutes left for the show, so I'm going to let the guests respond. Thank you for listening and calling in.
Thank you.
Yolanda, you can go ahead with your response.
Yeah, no, that, you know, I actually was hoping to get to that because the book Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome talks about adaptive behaviors that enslaved people had to adopt in order to protect their children from slave masters. And that went from protecting them on the plantation to protecting them from, you know, from the world. And thinking that they have to be harsh towards their children. But here's the thing we have to remember. This fear that we have is completely valid, completely valid. However, they can be disciplined or, you know, disciplined, whatever, it will not stop white supremacy. It does not matter when it comes to how black people are treated in this world. They can just be coming from the store with Skittles in their hands, walking down the street, and be gunned down by a vigilante. They could be playing in a playground with a toy gun, and the police come 3 seconds later, he's dead. It doesn't...
So,
you whooping them does not change that.
Okay, so if we don't whoop them, that doesn't change that either then, right?
No, but what it will do is give them ways to advocate for themselves in a way that does not involve violence. So what conscious parenting pretty much is it teaches emotional awareness. It helps them learn how to process these things that are happening around them and learn how to advocate for themselves, have confidence in themselves, and be their whole, true, complete self. Yeah. So, no, it won't stop that, but it will help build them up from the inside out.
Yolanda, one of the things that I keep thinking about is you've talked about, you know, with the parents, and we've talked a lot about focusing on the child's behavior, but something that as I've gotten older that I realize is, oh, it really isn't necessarily my circumstance or these other people and their behavior. It's my capacity to realize that I can respond differently, that I have some choices here on how I respond. And so if I keep thinking that it is somebody else's behavior and that is, oh, it's this circumstance, and so that made me do this, then I never really allow myself to tap into this ever-expanding capacity that I have to respond.
Listen, that's a whole word, because that is the crux of, you know, I tell people all the time, it's about you. It's about the parent. It's about how our mindset, our mood, everything, and how we are showing up for our children. So we have the ability to do things different. It's a choice that we make. And our children cannot make us hit them. Their behavior is their behavior. We have a choice on how we respond to that behavior. And we have to be responsible for our responses and own them and understand that we can change. Like, we can respond. You can be mad. Doesn't mean you have to lash out violently. You know, like, our feelings matter too. But we have to learn how we're modeling for them how to deal with life's problems and conflict. So what are you modeling when you hit your children?
It makes me also think, just as we wrap here, that the work really is to be done within us and us being emotionally aware, so that we even can take that pause and say, hey, you know what, this is how I choose to respond to this differently. But it does require, you know, us to consider and continue to work on our emotional awareness. Yolanda, thank you so much for being our guest. We're going to have to, we say this about every guest, to have them back, because people are so great. But Yolanda, we just have a couple of minutes, but I want you to share where on social media you are, where can people find the Parenting Decolonize podcast, just contact info.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I have a website, parentingdecolonize.com. You subscribe to my podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and on Google. And I'm on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'm really active on Facebook. And I have a large group for any black parent that wants to learn how to parent consciously. I have a Facebook group called Conscious Parenting for the Culture that you can join on Facebook.
Thank you so much. We have been talking with Yolanda Williams, host of the Parenting Decolonized podcast here on Ebony's Bones. We're here with you every Wednesday. We'll be back next Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. being able to explore, question, and decolonize together. Thank you, Yolanda. Have a good evening and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, you too. Thank you guys for having me.